evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Moudou, and welcome to Health Chat. On the program tonight, we'll take a look at prostate cancer. With us in the studio is our guest, Dr. Chiledum Ahagotu, Chief of Urology at the Howard University Hospital and Associate Professor of Surgery in the College of Medicine. Welcome to Health Chat, Dr. Ahagotu.
Always great to be here, Lenore.
It's great to have you. Well, before we go to Dr. Ahagotu, let me tell you that if you would like to participate in the show with your question or comment, you can call us at 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. You can ask your international operator to reverse the charges. And you can also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com. But before we start discussing prostate cancer, here are some recent developments regarding the disease. Ask any man about prostate cancer, and you may be met by a personal story or the story of someone they know. It is one of the most common types of cancer among men globally. The prostate is a walnut-sized gland that forms part of the male reproductive system. It is located below the bladder, where urine is stored. A second sex gland, the prostate supplies the nourishment for semen. Cancer of the prostate occurs when abnormal cells in the gland grow out of control. The disease presents no symptoms, but there may be some warning signs. Dr. Willie Underwood is Associate Professor of Surgical Oncology at the Roswell Park Cancer Institute.
There are truly no symptoms of prostate cancer. Now, there are symptoms of quote-unquote prostate problems or prostate disease, and that's men waking up at night to urinate, having difficulty with urinating, a weak stream, urinating all the time throughout the day, urgency where you got to urinate right away. Those are signs of prostate problems.
Dr. Underwood says apart from age, usually men over 60, heredity is a contributing factor to the onset of prostate cancer.
African-American men in the United States are at significantly higher risk. They're 1.5 times more likely to get it and twice likely to die from it. Men with a family history, a first-degree relative of prostate cancer, are at greater risk as well.
Other risk factors include alcohol abuse. A 2009 study funded by the U.S. National Institute of Health shows that prostate cancer remains an important public health concern in Western countries.
It is the most common cancer and is the second leading cause of cancer death in the United States.
In sub-Saharan Africa, more and more men suffer from the disease. The Prostate Cancer Foundation of South Africa says each year, more than 4,000 South African men are diagnosed with prostate cancer. The reasons for the increase are diverse. Edward Empofol is with the Cancer Society of Ghana.
The changing lifestyle that we have noticed in many, many people, our diets have changed, you know, our physical activities have changed and all that. So all these could have contributed in increasing the incidence of prostate cancer.
Dr. Underwood of the Roswell Park Cancer Institute says men should get screened to detect early the onset of prostate cancer.
Now, the key thing is, though, it's not to wait till you have symptoms of a problem. The key thing is to be diagnosed if you do have prostate cancer before that. Because if those symptoms are secondary to prostate cancer, then you have advanced disease. So we like to diagnose men early. And that's why we utilize in the United States the prostate-specific antigen test, and then we do digital rectal exams as well, because both tests together allow you to diagnose over 90% of prostate cancers, close to 100%.
And Dr. Ahagotu, you just heard the report. Let me have your reaction. Is there anything that you wanted to clarify or emphasize in this story? There is no symptoms of prostate cancer?
Yeah, that definitely would be one of the things I would like to mention. And Dr. Underwood does a good job of sort of summarizing all of the features of prostate cancer. And as he mentioned, in the early stages of prostate cancer, there are no symptoms. Absolutely zero symptoms. You're walking around feeling great. Life is grand. Meanwhile, a small area of cancer is kind of smoldering within the prostate. Dr. Underwood also mentioned, the prostate is responsible for just producing some of the secretions that come out in the normal male sexual experience. It's not a vital gland. It's not absolutely necessary for life. And as you get older, it tends to get larger. And it also tends to become cancerous.
Now, do we know what causes prostate cancer or maybe some contributing factors?
Well, we don't know what causes it, but we do know that there are certain associations that seem to increase your risk of developing prostate cancer. Men of African descent have a much higher risk of developing prostate cancer, and specifically in the United States, African-American men are 60% more likely to be diagnosed with prostate cancer. And what's even more worrisome is that African-American men are 2 to 3 times more likely to die of the disease. I also should point out that African-American men are also much, much more likely, 4 to 5 times more likely, of presenting with advanced prostate cancer at the time of diagnosis, which means that African-American men carry a disproportionate burden of prostate cancer in this country.
So would you say maybe I'm speculating, but is it possible that there is a it's related to the circumstances in which people live? Maybe they don't have access to care, preventive care, or early diagnosis? Or is it really like a genetic factor?
Well, there are different models explore what you talked about, the different potential reasons why you have that disparity. It's probably, my speculation is probably a combination of multiple events. Certainly, there's data suggesting that there is a biological difference in prostate cancer in different ethnic groups, but also exposure to certain environmental factors. I think the clip earlier mentioned a relationship between smoking and prostate cancer, or at least smoking and aggressive prostate cancer. And then also, as you mentioned, access issues, you know, which is more related to socioeconomic factors, but you know, African Americans are more likely to fall in lower socioeconomic groups, and therefore there may be some relationship to that as well.
Now, I received an email from one of our listeners, and he had this specific question. I heard that wearing tight underwear, such as brief, can cause prostate cancer or other sexual problems. Is it true?
Well, not prostate cancer. There's no relationship between the kind of underwear you use and prostate cancer. But there have been some studies that have suggested, not conclusive, that wearing very tight underwear may have some effect on fertility and the production of sperm, because the production of sperm is very temperature related or temperature sensitive. And so unusually high temperatures in that area can impair the formation of sperm. So there have been some subtle links between underwear, the type of underwear you use, and fertility issues.
Take us through an interaction you may have with a patient that is just diagnosed with prostate cancer. What do you tell that patient?
Well, the most striking thing, Lenore, is that, again, because most of these men actually don't have symptoms, it's usually a big shock. You know, if you're feeling great and someone comes in and tells you you have cancer, you know, that's a big shock, because you just it's hard to make the connection. So what I typically do is I first of all make sure that they've recovered from their biopsy, which is the test or the procedure that we use to make the diagnosis, so that at least that anxiety from recovering from the biopsy is over. And then I tell them that they have prostate cancer. We start talking about the kind of cancer they have, so how aggressive it is based on the biopsy report and some other things. Mm-hmm. And then we start talking about what some of their treatment options.
Okay, and before we continue, let me remind our listeners that you can call with your questions or comments. The number is 202-619-3111. And if you are outside of the United States, the country code is 1. You can ask your international operator to reverse the charges. And we are talking to Dr. Chiledom Ahagotu with Howard University Hospital. Now, let's talk about, we were talking about, you know, when you are with a patient, you just tell him that he has prostate cancer. What are some of the critical questions that a patient should ask his doctor after being diagnosed?
Some of the most important questions are, one, how aggressive is this cancer? And we usually determine that based on, as I mentioned earlier, the pathology report. That is the report that is generated as a result of the biopsy. That's very important. Also, it's important to find out what stage is my disease. How advanced is the disease based on x-rays that need to be done, as well as the blood test PSA, which is helps us to understand how advanced the disease may be. And then also, what are some of the treatment options that might be right for me? You know, I believe that patients have to make the final decision about what treatment is right for them, but I think the doctor can be a helpful instrument in guiding them in making that decision.
Okay, let's talk about screening for prostate cancer. One of the ways, as you mentioned earlier, is the PSA test. In October last year, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommended against PSA screening in healthy men, finding that potential risks outweigh the potential benefits. And this has been a big controversy. What do you say about this?
Well, you know, that is a very comprehensive discussion. It's probably
<Of course. laughs>
today is beyond the scope of what we can talk about right now. But basically, in summary, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force went and looked at all of the available studies looking at the effect of screening on reducing death from prostate cancer. They selected what they considered to be the studies of highest quality, and then they came up with a recommendation. Many groups, including many groups that I'm involved with, do not agree with the way that they put forward their recommendations for many, many reasons. I'll just talk about one or two briefly if I have a moment.
Yes.
The studies that the U.S. Preventative Task Force looked at were flawed studies. One is the prostate, lung, colorectal, ovarian study, PLCO. The other was the European Randomized Prostate Cancer Screening Study. And most of the experts in the field of prostate cancer have concerns about both of these studies. And so to make such strong recommendations based on studies that have significant limitations, I think, was very premature. The other issue is that the task force did not look at different ethnic groups and risk factors related to ethnic groups. As we mentioned, African-American men. And men of African descent. And so they sort of used a broad sweeping approach to treat a very complex disease. And so I suspect that their final recommendations may potentially change. The initial recommendations are preliminary, and they're waiting for feedback from various groups before they make their final recommendations sometime this year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Absolutely.
With that.
We'll keep an eye on that. And we have a caller from West Africa. Go ahead. You're on VOA's. Chris, go ahead.
I would like to ask the doctor if teenagers should be worrying about prostate. If it's how early is too early to start worrying about it? Because I heard somewhere that teenagers, even though this is a matter for older generation, but sometime you should, you know, take a look at teenagers that might develop that.
Great, thank you. Very interesting question.
Well, thanks for the call, and it's so interesting that the caller we've had so far is actually a woman.
Yes.
And as you know, prostate cancer is a disease of men, and we really appreciate your call because women, I think, are very important in our ability to increase the level of awareness about prostate cancer. So thanks for your call. To answer your question, you're absolutely right. Prostate cancer does not occur in younger men. It's a disease that typically starts in the sixth and seventh decade of life, so 60s, 70s, 80s. Even the ones that run in the family tend to start at younger ages in 40s and 50s, but teenagers are not at risk of prostate disease or any kind of prostate problems, fortunately for them. That being said, I do want to put a plug in that, you know, starting to get teenagers involved in proper health-seeking behavior is a really good thing to do even at that age. So, you know, that annual visit to their doctor just to get a general checkup, I think if you can start that early in their life experience, they're more likely to continue it into adulthood, and that, again, may help when they get to the age where prostate cancer could be a risk for them.
Okay, so. Dr. Ahagoto, we're going to take a short break and come back for more. And don't forget, you may call us with your questions or comments. The number is 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. You can reverse the charges through your international operator. We'll continue our discussion of prostate cancer with Dr. Chiledom Ahagoto in a moment.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Youth, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Looking for something? Headline news? Interviews? Analysis? We've got it all on voaafrica.com.
voaafrica.com.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic on Health Chat is prostate cancer. And with us in the studio is Dr. Chiledom Ahagoto, Chief of Urology at the Howard University Hospital. And a reminder that you can join our conversation by calling 202-619-3111. And we do have a caller. John, you're on the air. What's your question? Welcome to Health Chat. John?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead with your question.
All right. First of all, I want to say good afternoon to the panel.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right. Great. Thanks. My name is John. My question is in regard to the side effect on the treatment of prostate cancer. And I know patients in Africa, I don't know if those patients have access to the chemotherapy treatment, but in that case, if that's the case, what are the side effects for a patient under a chemotherapy treatment?
Sure, I'd be happy to answer that, John, and thanks for your call, and you ask a very, very important question. I can certainly talk a little bit about the side effects of chemotherapy, even though chemotherapy is not the primary way that we treat prostate cancer. We usually reserve chemotherapy only for the more advanced cases of prostate cancer. And most of the chemotherapies can cause generalized symptoms like nausea and vomiting and hair loss and some of those side effects. They also can suppress the production of blood and cause severe anemia and infections. And so, you know, if you're going to get chemotherapy for prostate cancer, any reason, it has to be done under a very controlled environment by an oncologist who really is skilled at monitoring and treating patients like that. But I mean, I'd prefer to just comment quickly on the side effects of one of the more common treatments of prostate cancer, and that is surgery to remove the prostate, that's called prostatectomy, and then side effects of radiation, which is another common way that we treat prostate cancer. So there are two common side effects. One is what we call incontinence. So some of the treatments for prostate cancer, especially the surgical treatments, typically will result in a period of time where the male cannot hold the urine. And that's called incontinence. And so it usually is transient. It usually doesn't last more than anywhere from 3 to 6 months. But during that time period, it can be quite disabling. And so that's something that, you know, you need to talk with your doctor about to get prepared for. And then the other is impotence, and that is erectile problems. And so many men who get treatments for prostate cancer will experience some degree of erectile problems. But both of those treatments, whether it's incontinence or impotence, can be treated with other medications and other treatments. So I wouldn't use that as a reason not to get screened or not to get treated, because if you have advanced prostate cancer and you die from it, then it's not going to matter whether you have erection problems or incontinence. So.
We have another question, another caller. Hello?
Yes.
Please go ahead with your question.
No, I said, doctor, you was right on the last statement.
Great. I think we have another caller. Okay, great.
I have Dr. Burnett. Would like to ask a question here.
Oh, okay. Dr. Burnett, go ahead, please, with your question.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes. My question actually is primarily going to be, what are the initial symptoms of prostate cancer? What will the patient start to notice that is different for them to have a checkup done? Initial stages of prostate cancer as initial symptoms, basically.
So, Dr. Burnett, I mentioned earlier that, you know, unfortunately, in the earliest stages of prostate cancer, there typically are no symptoms. That being said, I probably should mention that when the cancer does start to spread and affect other organs, it can certainly cause symptoms. And so as it starts to invade into the urethra or the tube that drains the bladder, you can experience urinary symptoms like diminished frequency of urination or difficulty urinating. Sometimes you can have blood in the urine. And then as it starts to spread beyond the prostate to other organs, and the most common is the bone, it can injure the bone. It can erode into the bone and cause a lot of bone-related symptoms like bone pain. It can cause what we call pathologic fractures, where you're just walking and the bone just snaps because it's been weakened by the cancer. It can even cause what we call cord compression, where the bone collapses and presses on the spine and causes paralysis.
Okay, we have another caller. Conrad, welcome to VOA's Health Chat. Your question, please.
Yeah, good evening, my good evening, doctor.
Good evening.
Yeah, right. Doctor, I want to find out, can food, like fried food or flour food, cause prostate cancer? Secondly, this issue of accumulated diseases like gonorrhea, other diseases that men normally contact, can such things cause prostate cancer? And finally, is it only operation that is the best option for curing prostate cancer? Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your wonderful question. So the first is relationship between diet. There have been studies that have shown that diets that are rich in red meat particularly, so pork and beef and those types of protein products, over long periods of time increase your risk of prostate cancer. That's one of the reasons we believe that prostate cancer is so prevalent in the United States, the so-called Western diet. As I mentioned, there's a relationship between smoking and prostate cancer as well. It's primarily the saturated fatty acids that you find in animal fat that appears to be the culprit related to prostate cancer. Also, the issue of
sexually transmitted infections.
There have been a lot of studies that have looked at associations between venereal diseases and prostate cancer and have not found anything conclusive. That being said, venereal diseases obviously can cause a lot of other problems, but it doesn't seem to be associated with prostate cancer. And then the last is, are there any non-surgical treatments? And the answer is yes. There's a lot of non-surgical treatments. There's what we call cryotherapy or freezing the prostate. We have interstitial radiation, where we put in radioactive seeds into the prostate. But obviously, these are treatments that are only available in certain centers. And so they may be limited in terms of what treatments you may have access to.
Okay. Can Dr. Hagutu, can a man become sexually active after undergoing prostate cancer treatment? I know you talked about some of the side effects, but how long can a man resume a normal sexual life?
Well, it all depends on the kind of treatment. For example, out of all the treatments, the one that seems to have the least effect on potency is radioactive seeds or brachytherapy. And most men after brachytherapy within a period of a few weeks can actually resume sexual intercourse. So that's actually one of the more attractive treatment options for men who are sexually active. But that being said, radioactive seeds only works for early stage disease. So that is sort of an impetus for men to get screened. And if they have the disease, get it at a very early stage.
And final question, I believe, because we're running out of time. Going back to the screening, the other screening that was mentioned is the digital rectal exam. And some men that I talk to say they do not like this exam. It's very uncomfortable. What can you say about that? Do you think that, have you seen evidence that the digital rectal exam itself has kept some men from being screened?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that is not clear. It's one of those urban legends, if you will. I mean, my experience has been once you explain to men in the community the importance of getting screened and what is actually involved in a digital rectal exam or DRE, they don't have a problem coming in and getting it done. I think it's more the perception of what is actually involved in getting that done. And that's why education is very important in the process of getting men aware about prostate cancer. The other thing is that, you know, if you're absolutely against a digital rectal examination, at least get a PSA. A PSA is a simple blood test. It'll at least give us an idea of whether or not you're at high risk of having prostate cancer. So, yes, you should get the PSA and the DRE, but if you absolutely do not want the DRE, then at least get the PSA.
Let's talk about men in Africa and some of the challenges that they come across with regards to addressing this disease. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit about what is lacking there in terms of whether it's treatment or diagnosis?
Well, in many of the developing countries in Africa, we struggle with issues related to awareness and access to screening. The average life expectancy in most sub-Saharan African countries is much lower than many of the industrial countries, and therefore prostate cancer being a disease of older men, it was once sort of minimized as being a problem. I think that studies have now shown that the incidence of prostate cancer is more substantial than was previously believed. I think the key issues are getting men to a facility where they can get screened. It doesn't require any kind of special technology to get screened. The PSA is a simple blood test. It can be done even in a rural setting. The digital rectal exam is a simple examination. All you need is a skilled finger and a glove and some lubrication.
Doesn't sound attractive,
but if it can save a life, you know. And then the other thing is what the gentleman talked to one of the callers is at least knowing if you are starting to have symptoms,
yes,
don't ignore them.
Okay.
You know, if you're having any kind of urinary symptoms, you need to find a trained physician or healthcare provider who can decide on what your next steps are.
Dr. Ahagutu, thank you so much for your time and this informative discussion.
It's my pleasure.
Great. And that's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. We thank Dr. Chiledom Ahagutu of Howard University Hospital's Department of Urology. For more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com/health. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington, D.C., with producer Jackson Vungani. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one I judge, this one I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent.
old songs you know and love and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.